Well, today is Father's Day, and I'm privileged to come over here to speak to you on Father's Day. But actually, it was very stressful for me to prepare this message, because the last week I was very busy running around, going in and out of the hospital, consulting certain physicians, and as a result, I'm on medication. My head is a bit groggy this morning, but I hope I still speak sense with the help of the Holy Spirit. So I was tempted to recycle a message on Father's Day. But the problem with speakers like me is this. When we first gave that original message, it was so meaningful. But when you look at it again, the thoughts somehow would not come back. And so I had a struggle. The next one was to prepare a new message. And the words that were with me all the time were, as a father, as a father. And I tried to prepare that message. I couldn't go far. I asked the Lord for help. Please tell me what I'm going to do. And it was already Wednesday. And on Wednesday, I received from the email offer of a book, a booklet on fatherhood. And so I took the opportunity to speak, to use some of the statistics found in that booklet to help me prepare the message as a father. Combining the thoughts that I have with the phrase as a father with certain statistics that I could get from this resource material. So, my text for this morning is, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Now, what does this phrase mean? It means that God can be known, is revealed to man through the earthly man who behaves. And therefore, the earthly believing father must portray and must mirror the very character of God in his life, in his treatment of his children. Because, as it says there, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, an earthly father, the son in whom he delighteth. The earthly father must delight in his son. And in delighting in his son, that's loving his son, he must also correct his son when his son or when his children go wrong. Or as the NIV puts it, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. So the word correct in the King James Version is actually discipline. Discipline your child. So, as I said, and I must acknowledge, the statistic figures I took from this booklet that was offered to me on a promotional price through internet. So I bought it, and I find it useful to give to as a resource material for certain statistics concerning the father, which I would be using afterwards. So my topic for this morning is as a father. In other words, what God, the Heavenly Father, expects of the earthly father. Because the earthly father is to reflect what the Heavenly Father does for his children, or how the Heavenly Father relates to his children. So the earthly father must portray that character. So let's start with the first one. And it is taken from the phrase, the son, the father delighteth in the son. God the Father, therefore, we see, cherishes all his children. God shows love to all without prejudice, even as he delights in his only son. God has only one son. The earthly father may have one son or one daughter, all me have sons and daughters. Well, whatever it is, the father in on earth is expected not to show any prejudice for any one of the children, because God shows love to all without prejudice. And this is demonstrated in the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, who reflects that love for all children without prejudice. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All who come to God, God will receive. And therefore Jesus Christ his son must reflect this character of God and receives all who come to him. Therefore he says, those that come to him I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 6 verse 37. God discriminates against none, and his son rejects none. No one is discriminated against. Everyone is accepted. And so the son says, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Because that person is not reflecting what God is. God receives everyone who comes to him into his kingdom. And therefore, everyone of us on earth should receive a child as a child comes to us. Now, many of you older persons may know this chorus well. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. How many of you know this chorus and know how old you are? Well, very good. It's good to see the young who are old. There are some young ones who know this. Come, let's sing together, just for the sake of singing this little chorus that I knew long time ago. My voice is not as good as before, but it is hoarse enough to be able to sing yet still. That's it. Jesus loves the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. You are too slow. Let's try again, shall we? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Thank you. All are accepted. And it's nice for, well, elderly fathers to be able to sing like children today. Thank you very much. So God shows love to all without prejudice. And how does he illustrate that? He promises to be present with them. The father's presence with the children is a very, very important item in the children's life and the development of that life. Note number one, he is the father to them and with them. In other words, he is always present with them. Psalm 68 verse 5, he is a father of the fatherless. Malachi 4:6, he shall turn the heart of the fathers to children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. In other words, God is always concerned that the father must spend time with his children, that the father must be with his children, the father must be present with his children. This is indicative of God's desire. And therefore, the father on earth must reflect this attribute of the Lord himself, that he wants to be present with his children too. And that's why the Lord said to his disciples to go into all the world, and wherever you go, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am with you, I'm present with you. And so the father should spend time to be present with the children. He is a father who accepts and is approachable to them. The father who is present with the children would suggest and would mean that the children have access to him, that he is approachable, and he accepts them. And that's what the father should be, as he plays out his role and responsibility of a father. The father should be kind, gracious, and the father, just by being there for the children, is important. But today, of course, we realize that there is so much to be done, and fathers are very busy, and fathers hardly spend time with the children. In most cases, they may leave this to the mother, but in certain cases, even mothers have no time for their children. So where do they leave the children? With childcare. Give everything to the kindergarten. Leave every one of the children to the school. Let the school control the children. Let the school teach the children. What about spiritual things? Spiritual lessons? No, let the Sunday school teach. We are not responsible. The Sunday school teachers are to teach our children the moral lessons. The school is to teach our children the lessons regarding their studies. And so on. And so, father frees himself from care of the children. Mother frees herself from taking care of the children. Their presence is highly felt. And this is indeed bad for the children. Remember this. The Lord disciplines those he loves and chastises every child whom he accepts. That is from Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6 from the Revised Standard Version. He has made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. We should be approachable to our children. We should accept our children. Sometimes our children are not that well cuddly, not that cute. We still must accept them as they are. They are God's gifts to our children. We accept them. And we have to be present with them in their development and growth in life. God expects an earthly father to take delight in his children. In his son that he delight. Therefore, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth, as we read in our text just now, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12. It is important that the father loves the child, shows the love and manifests that love and that relationship with the child. He should be present with the children and be part of the children. For example, in Luke chapter 2, verse 40 and verse 52, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he grew up in favor with God and man. He grew up, I'm sure, in the presence of Mary, the mother, and Joseph, the carpenter. And that's why people know him as the son of the carpenter. Why? Because most probably, the son was with the father while he was doing his work as a carpenter. So that he was known as the son of the carpenter. He didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. Clarence Kellen. That's a statistic taken from that book. He didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. And this is what our presence is needed as fathers to our children. That we show them, we live out our life in front of them so that they know what it is. Another quotation, Mario. I talk and talk and talk, and I haven't taught people in 50 years what my father taught by example in 1 week. Let us stop our talking. Let us be able to teach. Teach our children. Not even using words, but by example. Be with them. Let them be with you when you do your work, so that they see for themselves. And as they see, they watch, they learn. And in that way, they grow. It is important that we bring them to be in our presence wherever we are, even in our work, where we can. Now, here are some suggestions how the father can be present. Showing hospitality to all people, big and small, important and humble. Today, hospitality is difficult. And we have problems with hospitality. Many assemblies today find difficult to invite speakers from outside. Because when the speakers come, the members of the assembly must show hospitality. And who shows the hospitality? Only perhaps the elders, or perhaps the deacons. But other members, they are not concerned about hospitality. Now, remember this. Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. That is one characteristic needed of every member of the church. Of course, it is also a qualifying element in an elder's life. A bishop or elder then must be given to hospitality and to teach. All elders must be hospitable. Now, this is a question perhaps and a thought that we must ask ourselves. As elders, are we given to hospitality as one of the qualifications of eldership? This is important. Do elders open their homes to members of the assembly? Now, let us realize this. Hospitality does not require a big house. Hospitality does not require a rich mansion. A hospitality is a home. It may be a hut, a small cottage, but that atmosphere in that home is warm, and people who step into that place find that they are welcome, a home away from home. So hospitality is that kind of attribute. It is not with regard to big homes, big rooms, and big expenditure to welcome the guests. It is just providing a home. A home. I know this, and I thank the Lord for saints who are hospitable. I've stayed in small places. I've made small homes. Sometimes when we want to be hospitable, we think of the image of our home. I cannot invite him to the house. It's all in a mess. And very often, poor fathers have to be blamed. Look at you, creating such a mess. How can you tell us, how can you tell me? So, brings the wife to ask people to come in. When they come in, they look at the house, it's so unhospitable. But it's not things that make hospitality what it is. It is the warmth and the friendship and the fellowship. And those of us who have the privilege to go into a home, please, let us not look at these things to criticize these things. Let us appreciate the warmth and the friendship and the fellowship and the trouble the host take in order to welcome you in. Appreciate all this. It's more important. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. 1 Peter 4:9. Use it. Don't grudge hospitality. And when members of the assembly are prepared to be hospitable, we will find more speakers will be invited, and there will be more learning and benefiting from the assembly members here. Sharing with them or being involved in their learning skills. Father, this is very important. You need to share with your children and to be involved in what they do. Perhaps the child is interested in football. Well, you need to take time to be interested in it. Now, I'd like to read a column from today's star paper. Learning about fishing and from Papa. Written by, this is the column, Sunday Starters, written by Su Yujin. Incidentally, Su Yujin was my student before. He was one of my bright students in Penang Free School. And he is now the deputy executive editor of the Star. But let's read something from, let's read it, this article from him. It's quite long, but I think it will be beneficial to us. Each time I use the Penang Bridge, I would point at one of the man-made islands and remind my boys that my father founded these. When the bridge was being built, these little islands were created as artificial barriers to control the flow of small boats underneath. We had a sampan, then and would go fishing in the surrounding waters. It was just a patch of sand, but it was a welcome refuge for us to take a rest off, when the sea got rough. It was on one such visit that my papa proudly proclaimed himself as the founder of the island, and we all cheered. Of the many members of my father, the ones that stir the most emotions are about going fishing. Sorry, I'm not reading this too clearly because my eyes are tearing very much. It's very watery. Of the many memories of my father, the ones that stir the most emotions are about going fishing with him. Sometimes we went on a sampan, but most of the time we just fished from the infamous Jirotong sewer bridge, which was walking distance from our house. We preferred to fish at night with the hurricane lamp by our side and a carpet of stars above us. I was young and impatient, and I would reel my line at the slightest tweak, while Papa just waited for the fish to truly get hooked. He obviously caught more fish than I did. The amazing thing about him was that he knew what fish would come up just by the way the line tweaked. Not bad for someone for whom fishing was a hobby. If you give a man a fish, you feed him for a meal. But if you teach him how to fish, you feed him a lifetime. I never thought much of this saying. Many things Papa taught me about fishes, crabs, and the sea hold lifelong lessons for me to this day. I remember a time when the sea was extremely rough and I was really scared, but Papa just rode with the flow. This could be one reason why I face trials and tribulations with the perspective that all things will soon pass, and that even in tough times we can enjoy the ride. Now, I leave it to you to read the rest of this column. But you see the influence of Papa when he takes the child with him. Get involved with your child and you find a new experience for your children. Let them see and be part of our own struggles. Sometimes we think our children are too young to understand the struggles that we go through. Talk to them. Explain to them why you have to behave in that kind of way, and therefore relate to the children. Setting the lead in being examples of life's lessons, just as Eugene's papa showed him how to fish and how to go on with life's important lessons by applying what he saw to life itself. This is perhaps something that we can learn, leading them to the source of all wisdom and guidance, of all things that you will teach your children in their presence. You must not forget the scripture. Every night, I think you should spend time with your children. Spend time with your children, those who are still young, so that they may learn the Bible lessons. Now, I'm a grandfather now, but my children, I must attest, had grown up with the scriptures when they were young. And today, my wife was the most influential and most important in bringing out this role. And so the children now today have remembered some of the Bible texts that they learned and the Bible stories. And today they have passed it down to our grandchildren. So it is important that you spend time with your children reading Bible stories instead of fairy tales, Aesop's fables, and all the Star Wars stories, and I don't know what they are today. So he accepts and is approachable to them. A truly rich man is one whose children run into his arms when his hands are empty. Today, we find that children will only run to Papa when there are a lot of gifts in Papa's hands. But we must teach our children to appreciate us as we are. Not the presents, but our presents. He can accept them and be approachable to them. How can he do it? Here are again some suggestions. Sharing and participating in their interest, as we discussed earlier just now, that if they are interested in certain things, perhaps we may be interested in them too. Today, children know more IT than we do. Perhaps we can make use of information technology and software and hardware and learn from our children. Let us not be shy to learn from our children, because our children can also teach us. But in that way, we relate to the children. Succoring them with their schoolwork, helping them to do their studies, and don't leave it to the tuition teacher alone. But of course, sometimes this is not possible, because the children now learn things that we never learned before in our school days, so we are not able to help. But it would be great if we start learning these things and start to learn with our children. My granddaughter in the States today can speak Mandarin quite well. She is learning Mandarin. But the important point is, she is learning Mandarin in a class where the father also goes to. So father and daughter learn Mandarin together. And that's how we can spend time together and learn and relate to one another. So do not be shy to learn together with your children or from your children. This is a good relationship to seal the father-children relationship well. My father used to play with my brother and me in the yard, says Hanman Kelibru. Mother would come out and say, "You are tearing up the grass." "We are not raising grass," Dad would reply. "We are raising boys." Sometimes mother can be so high-geared when she sees things are wrong in the house. Again, as I said earlier, the warmth in the home, the hospitality in the home, is not reflected by the poshness of the house, by the richness of the antiques that you have. It is by the warmth of the person living in that house. That is important. That will reflect the hospitality and the warmth of friendship that one can show. And so we need to spend time with the children. Today it is very difficult to spend time, because fathers have a lot of work in the office, mothers have also to work, and children spend their time in tuition classes or in school. So hardly time is spent. So make sure that at least some time is spent with the children to guide, to lead, and to advise them. Support and pay attention to them whenever they require our attention. Sometimes children have got problems too, as we do. So when they come to us, let us help them. We need, above everything else, to pray with our children. Not only to read Bible stories to the children, but to pray with the children. They must learn how to pray. Please don't say that a child is too young. A child at 3 can already pray. Few sentences. My son teaches his son to pray in this way. He just says a few sentences, and then at the very beginning, he is just taught to say Amen. So he says everything and Amen. The child must say Amen. Later on, he goes on to teach the child to listen carefully. When you hear the words "in the name of Jesus," say Amen. So he hears the word "in the name of Jesus," he says Amen. And then after that, slowly he develops simple sentences to teach the son to pray. And this is what perhaps we can learn. We teach our children to pray even. Contrast Jacob, an example of a poor father, to his son Joseph. You remember Jacob and Joseph? Jacob pampered Joseph with a multicolored coat. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. This is the worst example. When fathers show favoritism, when they love other children more than the rest. Now, while we may sometimes love a child more than the others, let us not show it outwardly. Show it in, believing it in the heart, and then outwardly we treat them as the same. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And this attitude is not only true at that time, but will also be true today and tomorrow. So let us be careful with our children that we don't show favoritism. Now, the significance of showing favoritism is this. Jacob favored Joseph above the rest of the intent, with the intention of granting him all or a larger portion of his inheritance. For Joseph was the firstborn, therefore he is entitled to all inheritance. But the point is, he was the firstborn of Rachel. And we remember Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, but he did not find Rachel. He was tricked, and he worked, and he was given Leah instead. He worked another 7 years for Rachel before he could get Rachel. For 14 years he worked for Rachel, and Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel, and therefore his favorite. Not only the firstborn, he was also the son of his whole age. So it's a sad mistake. Jacob should have remembered what parental favoritism did to his family. You remember, he had experienced this kind of favoritism. The father loved his brother Esau. The mother loved him, Jacob. And so there was a feud between the two, and we find how Jacob tricked Esau into surrendering his inheritance to Jacob. He already knew what it was. He had already experienced favoritism in the family, and now he was practicing favoritism himself. That's a sad mistake. He had separated him from his loving mother because he had to run away from Esau, and it would separate therefore it separated Joseph from Jacob as well, because Joseph was sold as a slave, and he was taken to Egypt for many years. And so his brother stripped him of the coat and later sold him as a slave, and that separated Jacob from the father, or Joseph, sorry, from the father. It later brought sadness to the father for the rest of his life. How sad it was. So favoritism is something that we must not manifest in dealing with our children. Right. Dad, you are important. Please do not surrender this duty and responsibility to the mother or to your wife. You are important. Now, here are the statistics. Alright? Here are the statistics. You are super dad. Very important. Superman. Fact. A study using a national probability sample of 1,250 fathers showed that children whose fathers were share news, spend leisure time with them, or help them with reading or homework do significantly better academically than those children who do not. Now, these are all statistical facts. Fathers who are involved on a personal level with the child's schooling increase the likelihood of the child's achievement. When fathers assume a positive role of the child's education, students feel a positive impact. Almost 9 out of 10 adolescents aged 15 to 17 living with their biological married parents reported to be in excellent or very good health, compared to less than 8 of 10 of those living with a single parent, no father. Right. Dad, you are important. I like to emphasize that. You are important. And let the child know it, that dad is indeed very important. Child abuse. Why? What happened? The overall rate of child abuse and neglect in single-parent households is 27.3 children per 1,000, whereas the rate of overall maltreatment in two-parent households is only 15.5 per 1,000. Use of drugs. Today, youths are more at risk of first substance use without a highly involved father. Each unit increase in father involvement is associated with 1% reduction in substance use. Living in an intact family also decreases the risk of first substance use. Sexual activity, and these things are real to us even in Malaysia today. In Penang, we know teenagers are now involved in sexual activities a lot. And researchers using a pool from both the US and the New Zealand found strong evidence that father absence has an effect on early sexual activity and teenage pregnancy. Teens without fathers were twice as likely to be involved in early sexual activity and seven times more likely to get pregnant as an adolescent. These are real facts that we must face. If we don't bother our children, then our children will be involved in all these abuses. So, God the Father delights in and disciples, corrects and chastises them. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Or NIV says, the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Revised Standard Version, the Lord disciplines those he loves. So, we must learn to understand that love a child is not to let the child go free. We must discipline and correct him when needed. And we read in Hebrews 12:5-11, there's the whole passage on what it is, why God chastens his children. Because he loves them. He wants to train them to be what he wants to be. So we are told, we are exhorted to endure hardship and discipline, that through this we can be what the Lord wants us to be. We are not his illegitimate children, but we are sons. That's why he chastises us and corrects us. Moreover, we have human fathers, God says, that do this, and we respect them, and it's good. So how much more we should submit to God. Our fathers discipline us for a little while, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. And of course, discipline is not pleasant, but we need to go through it in order to be what God wants us to be. So suffer the pain of discipline, or suffer the pain of regret later on. The earthly father should delight in his children and discipline them. For what son is not disciplined by his father? The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Let us also correct our children when they go wrong. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We must learn. We must teach a child certain things. Train him up. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwell first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul was very happy that Timothy was brought up in the presence this time of the mother. The father, of course, was not there. Well, not, at least not mentioned. Not sure why. David was not a good father. He pandered to his son's deviant ways and did not correct them. David did not discipline Amnon when he raped Tamar, Absalom's sister. He knew about it, but he did not correct Amnon. And result, we find that there was enmity between Amnon and Absalom, whom he favored very much. And yet, the one whom he favored later on recruited men to himself against David, rebelled against him, and proclaimed himself as the king of Judah. And so we find that later on, when it was told to David that his son Absalom, his pride of his good, beautiful hair was caught in the boughs of a tree, and that he was hanging there, David gave the instruction not to hurt him. But of course, later on we know the story, Absalom was killed by one who was disobedient to the instructions of David. Right, now I have finished with the phrase as a father, as in Proverbs quoted just now. Now, just to give you an idea of some or other occurrences of as a father, as a phrase occurs in other parts of the scripture, we read that God the Father should show that the earthly father should show compassion to his children as God does so. Psalm 103 verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Please note the condition, that fear him. Show compassion to those that fear. What is the fear of the Lord? To fear the Lord is to be reverent of the Lord. Deuteronomy 4, 9 and 10. We are told to teach our children about the fear of the Lord and to pass it down from son to son, so that the fear of the Lord is not missing in the family. We are told also in Deuteronomy 5, 29 that God would teach his people to fear him, and his people must teach their children to fear him by keeping his commandments always. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 13, again the fathers are told to teach their children that they may learn to fear the Lord. Psalm 34 in verse 11 we read, come you children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So lastly, when we teach them the fear of the Lord, we must also show them compassion. Compassion. Just as in the case of the prodigal son, who rebelled against the father, but later on returned, and the father showed him compassion. In Luke chapter 15, verses 20-24. The father should also comfort and charge his children. We read in 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12, you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father. As a father. That's what Paul said to the Thessalonians. And NRSV translates it this way, like a father with his children, urging and encouraging and pleading. Then NIV translates it as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting and urging. And so we find that the father should relate to the child by exhorting, comforting, charging, urging, encouraging, pleading, and in this way seek the child's growth and development for good. So the father first counsels his children, the father comforts his children when needed, and the father charges his children when it is required to give instructions. These things perhaps we need to know on Father's Day as fathers, that we need to counsel our children, comfort our children, and charge our children about things of God. So fathers are expected to treat their children well. Children are expected to treat their seniors as fathers. This is the last occurrence of the word as a father. And we read in 1 Timothy 5:1-2, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers. And here, it is not the elder of the assembly, but it is the person older than you, the seniors, the one who have white hair or who have no hair. Alright, so respect your elders. Don't make fun of him. Do not speak harshly to an older man. Speak to him as to a father. I'm not sure what this means. Respect your elders or be eaten by bears. I'm not sure what it means. You can puzzle it out. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. And according to this person, I was always taught to respect my elders. Now I don't have anyone to respect because all have gone. Well, good grief, Sunny. Sometimes seniors don't know how to behave themselves, and we find that indeed they don't have the respect. Remember this: respect is earned. When you respect those juniors, the juniors will respect you. Well, I wish all a blessed Father's Day, and I pass my wife and I give the greetings to all fathers. A blessed Father's Day today. God bless all of you. And finally, blessed 50-something birthday and blessed Father's Day to you from all of us, Mr. Bunsai. We wish you the Lord's blessing today. I dare not put down the year of his birthday, but Mr. Tan, we wish you the Lord's blessings. Double blessing, double portion of the blessings. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless. I've been asked to close now, to commit all fathers unto the Lord this morning. Can I ask all fathers to stand up? All fathers, let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have learned about our greatest Father of all, thyself, the Father of all men, the Father of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thy children. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should now be called the children of God. We thank thee for the wonderful grace that has made us what we are today, fathers. And as we, on this Father's Day, commit ourselves to thee, we do pray that thou will help us to undertake our responsibilities to our children, that our relationships with our children, our responsibilities to them may be fully discharged, so that we can reflect that relationship between thyself and us, so that others, our children, may know the God who loves us, and yet, because he loves us, he chastises us. Lord, help us to know this, that when correction comes, we would be able to take the correction with a real heart, knowing that all things are to work out for our good, that in character and in life we may be like thine self. Help us as fathers to reflect thine attributes to our children and to others around us. Help us as fathers to be good to our wives, as husbands. Help us as our fathers to be good to our other brothers and sisters as a brother. And help us to be good fathers as a father to our children. Lord, bless us, we do pray, as we stand before thee this day, committed to be good fathers from now and the rest of the days that follow. We give thee thanks in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Before I go down, can I just read to you a devotion from Joyce Gleanings, which I find helpful. The text is, "Remove not the ancient landmark, which thy fathers have set. More than ever we need godly fathers, who will stand against the trend of society and uphold the honor of fatherhood. Fathers, prioritize your life. Take time with God and the assembly. Love your wives sacrificially. Let your wife know how much you appreciate what she does. Instill godly value and principles in the hearts and minds of your sons and daughters, who are living eternal souls. Your family needs you. Be a man of God." I am a man appointed by my Savior to show His love in all I do and say. Lord, fill me now and help me. Seize the moment, and as your man, I will serve your cause today. The Lord bless you.